I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sing, sing, Brazil, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Three's company, but four's a ramble. Pete's here.
Come play Xbox with me, bitch.
Luke's here.
All right.
And Jim's here.
Hello.
I'm here, obviously. Slightly different order.
We hear your voice.
Slightly different order. I did the hellos and the whatnots there. But the four of us are in the room together, thank goodness. What a World Cup bonanza we've got for you today.
You're sounding remarkably upbeat on the back of an England 0-0.
Well,
because we're doing
cheap, mate.
It's improvement, isn't it? Build on it.
A genuine improvement.
Yeah.
We're doing it standing up. We're doing the Football Ramble standing up for the first time in about 2 years.
Don't let them behind the curtain.
I like I like standing up. Should we start with Group A or Group D? What would you prefer?
Let's go alphabetical.
Yeah?
Yeah, part of me wants to get Group D out of the way, so it's not preying on my mind.
Yeah.
Part of me just wants to ignore it forever.
Right, okay.
Let's do Group D then.
Start with Group D.
Yeah, cool.
And we've just watched England 0, Costa Rica 0, but we've just watched as well, with two screens, Uruguay beat Italy 1-0. Diego Godin.
Incredible.
It's great for Godin. He's had a brilliant season. He scored a similar type of goal in the sense that it was from a corner.
Yeah.
And he knocked it in. Came off his shoulder.
Lovely kind of... It did come out. There was a lot of shoulder action in that match.
Wow.
It was some lovely kind of British... English.
English goal.
Last minute of injury time. Get the ball in the box and then failing to do so at every turn. It was just really upsetting.
Do you think...
Especially with Mario Balotelli, who scored a header already in the World Cup.
It was quite nice to see it happen to someone else, though.
Yeah,
it
was, yeah. Get it in the box. Do it. Buffon's up for crying out loud. Get it in the box.
I love how they put Buffon up, and then him being a 36-year-old goalkeeper, actually tried to get the ball to him. Surely he's to mop up any rebounds. He's an extra man for that. He doesn't become your target, man.
Do you think Uruguay learnt during the England game, let's score an English type of goal, and they put it into practice for the next game.
Again, you're welcome to World Cup.
Once again, you're very welcome.
But you made a reasonable point, Marcus, which is for second World Cup in a row, Italy have gone out in the group stage. Have a go at them.
Yeah.
Have a go at England. We got through the group stage last time and then embarrassed ourselves.
At least start with them.
They'll be just livid that they've gone out. They had just everything to work from.
I actually think, I'm not sure if I said this off the back of the England-Italy game, I've certainly thought it after the Costa Rica game. I wonder how good Italy actually are.
Mm.
And the way they showed such a lack of urgency, as you've just touched on, with the Euro, the goal down. There's literally...
I mean, they're a man down.
You need to throw everything at it.
But
in that context, they are a man down. But in that context, look at what happened to Croatia against Mexico. They tried to do something about it. And okay, they went down 3-1, possibly a heavier defeat than they otherwise would have done. But you might as well get beat 4-0 if you're going to beat 1-0 and go out the World Cup anyway.
Well, the dugout seemed to want to get on the field and get in the 80-yard
box. They were well amongst
it,
weren't they? Yeah. I thought that was an intimidatory tactic.
Which failed horribly.
My older brother's here.
He's got his mates.
Yeah, but it didn't work. Uruguay through. And did Suarez bite Chiellini?
We were watching multi-screen, weren't we? It's kind of difficult.
Chiellini certainly tried to insinuate that he had.
Chiellini seemed to elbow Suarez, so no one comes out of it very well.
We recalled straight after the game, so we didn't have time to see the replay.
Twitter seemed to say there was no real evidence for it, but who knows? We'll check it later.
Let's assume he did.
Okay.
It's a fair assumption.
I mean, it's the one player you need to be watching for bites. If you have to watch anybody who's got a bit of form in the area, watch Luis Suarez.
Maybe he's done like a dummy bite. How skillful.
Maybe they love bites. I love this cup.
Can the FIFA court get him banned ahead of the next game?
I think there isn't a FIFA court this time.
No, that's a shame. I actually applauded that.
Did you?
No.
What, the FIFA court? From a distance. It was fantastic for Uruguay. I mean, losing the first game against Costa Rica by three goals to one.
Yeah.
They probably thought they were out of it. You know.
And apart from, you know, Luis Suarez in the second game, I don't think they were particularly convincing against England. They didn't need to be, for fuck's sake.
This is what this Uruguay side does. They're a tournament team. Tabárez sets them up. They know what to do at a tournament. And I was surprised, actually, that they got through the Italian defence, because not that I think Italy are brilliant, but like we said before, they are a reactive team. They'll be fine. They'll enjoy playing probably Colombia. I think it will be in the next
round. That'd be a great game.
It will be a lovely
one. It'll be some turnaround for it not to be Colombia.
Yeah, well, Colombia like to go forward. They like to express themselves a bit more in an attacking sense. Uruguay like to sit off teams, like to soak it up. They like to beat teams up.
Agree. Yeah.
You know, nip them here and there, and then get them
so
on the break.
Speak.
Sorry? Yes, of course. Little nibble.
I agree with what you're saying about Uruguay. I agree with what you said in the last show as well. I think that the flip side to people saying, oh, Uruguay have been around for a while, they haven't replaced a lot of their players, they're coming to the end of their cycle, and all those sort of things. What you get with that is you also get a canny amount of experience.
Oh, yeah.
And as you said in the last show, Uruguay are happy to soak it up against England. They know England aren't a special team, really. And they've been canny enough to get past Italy as well.
Yeah,
Marquisa didn't help them, by the way, though.
No, getting sent off, yeah. But
Balotelli was lucky not to go as well for his amazing sort of karate kick to the
back of Pereira's head.
Yeah, he's a foul magnet, that guy.
How many times are he going to get a blow to the head?
It was a hell of a leap, to be fair.
He nearly leapt over the man. But I think when, like you say, Luke, if a new guy does come in, like, I forget the name of the guy who replaced Lugano, he's against Godin, and Godin will shepherd him through that whole game.
Yeah,
he will be talking to him. The kind of chat that, you know, you wouldn't imagine would be happening with Cahill and Jagielka because of the lack of leadership.
Well, we said before that you could argue that Godin's been the best centre back in Europe this season. You know, and of course he's not exactly young or anything, but he's always a threat from set pieces. I think I might have said it before the World Cup started. I was worried that Godin was going to haunt England with a set piece header and knock us out. Obviously, it didn't happen, but he certainly did not knock Italy out.
Yeah. They march on. Incredible that Italy are out in the first round in two World Cups and are having won the one before that. And,
Feast or famine.
But having won the first game as well, they did not look like they were under any danger, really, of not going through.
I mean, actually, in a weird way, if you look at Italy and England, you know, you'd probably rather be in England's shoes, because at least one or two people are suggesting there's been an improvement.
I am in England's shoes, and I don't like it.
No, I'm not saying you like it.
We don't
have
Pirlo. Pirlo's a beautiful face to look at.
That's anyway, I mean, ultimately, it's a different shade of...
Were there any other games in Group D today? I don't think there were. Go on to Group A now.
There was a defensive masterclass by the English in Belo Horizonte, shutting out the impressive Costa Ricans.
The minnows of England. keeping a brave clean sheet against the colossus Costa Rica.
They've never scored in Belo Horizonte, have they?
No.
Not against the US.
No.
Don't play CONCACAF nations there.
Yeah.
Is my advice.
What did Stephen Hawking say? Don't play in red.
Yeah, don't.
Or
play.
Do play in red.
Do play in red.
Don't play altitude. Don't play heat.
Do score more.
Don't play heat. Don't play in World Cups.
No.
Hit penalties hard.
They'll rectify for that for 18.
Don't potentially bite anyone.
No. I wish England would bite someone.
The inquest has begun on England.
Yeah.
As it did 4 years ago.
Are we not going to talk about the match first?
The Costa Rica game.
Yeah. Then
what is there to talk
Daniel
about?
Daniel Sturridge missed some chances, didn't he?
He did. I was saying that to you, Jim. If Costa Rica had nicked one at the end, people have said, oh, well, Costa Rica, again, you know, were better against England. Well, no, they weren't, actually. England were better. Not by much, but England created chances to win the game. The problem is, they didn't bleed and take them.
Jim, didn't you mean to say, well done to Daniel Sturridge for getting in those good positions?
He got a hat-trick of great positions.
Exactly.
Which I will take at this time.
Yeah, we'll take anything.
Look, you weren't here when England obviously went
No, up. But I liked your sober, reflective and very sensible coverage of England. I have to say.
Yeah. But I thought one of the things that stuck out for me in all the press and the media that surrounded England going out in and around England when they got knocked out was Rooney, and I think Gerrard said something similar. They need to be more streetwise, and I think that
is that just not alluding to dirty foreigners die.
No,
what Gerrard does all the time.
No, that's one of about 15 things England need to do better.
No, I don't.
Is it a plug for like a new FIFA street game?
I think it was to do with the diving. I think it's to do with, we've got ourselves at one all here. Let's see this game. Let's make sure we get at least a point.
That's the sort of stuff you learn when you're 18.
Yeah. The thing is, Marcus,
if not earlier.
He probably does mean that, and you're right to bring it up. But the fact of the matter is, England are incapable of doing that. They're incapable of taking any responsibility. Before the World Cup started, I was positive about England, and I thought, you know, and I actually said on the show, judge them on their merits. They've got there, they qualified, they're expected to qualify, they've done it, judge them on their performances. And they've been absolutely abject. Against Italy, they were okay. They could have gone either way, that game, I admit. But I agree with what you guys said last week.
Let's not be too revisionist, though. They were very good against Italy.
They were, but that's what I just said. The game could have gone either way. They could have won it. They were fine.
Look at something like Iran against Argentina. Now, nobody expects Iran to put in any sort of performance against
that. This is what I was going to go on to say.
It's just kind of like Costa Rica. Nobody imagined that Costa Rica would have the World Cup they've had thus far.
This is what
why can't we put in that sort of performance where we play better than people expect us to? There's just never that sort of performance.
Do you think it might be that... Sorry, Luke, to cut in there. Do you think it might be that we're hampered too much by expectation? Because in both those examples, they're not expected to get anything.
No, I don't think it is.
I think that's a scapegoat thing as well. Because all I was going to go on to say was, and Pete sort of bring me to it a little bit, but is that look at teams like Chile and look at teams like
Colombia.
You know, what can be achieved by having a manager and having a group of players who are A, willing to work hard for the group, who are willing, I don't want to sound like Brendan Rodgers here, to honestly work as part of a system. There's absolutely no reason England shouldn't be able to qualify at that group when you look at Chile, who've got, they've got some good players, but they rested Vidal, he's not been fit in the last game they played.
Man who scored against Australia still plays in Chile.
Yeah, exactly. They had Jara, who was released by fucking Forest. Gary Medel's playing out of position at centre back. And because they work so hard, and they're happy to sacrifice the individual display and the things they perhaps maybe want to do or they can get away with doing at their club for the team unit. They work as a unit. They understand it's a team game. Now, an interesting question to theorise might be, what would happen if Chile had someone of even greater ability than Alexis Sanchez? Alexis Sanchez is a great player. He's a world-class player, but he's happy to run and work for the team. Mm. If you had a Cristiano Ronaldo in there at Chile, would that make Chile better or worse? I think it would make him worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they're so well-balanced because they work so hard. Agreed. And England don't need to do that. And I get the impression that... Or England don't do that, sorry. But I get the impression that, like... I know this is a bit of a cast aspersion on his character and stuff. It's not his fault that he's been picked as captain, but Frank Lampard playing against Costa Rica, he's probably swanning around that game against Costa Rica thinking, well, I'm much better. Do you know what I mean? And it's not conducive to success at that level because I just think they're so much better than they are. And even the results don't actually fucking speak for that. Do you know what are we learning from picking Frank Lampard as captain?
It's a send-off, probably.
Yeah. Oh, great. Well, fucking great. That's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace.
I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying that's probably
Our problem is we're giving players send-off. We give players fucking 100-odd caps when they don't deserve them. We give Steven Gerrard 110 caps, whatever he's got. Half the time he doesn't deserve it. We give David Beckham another 10 off the bench. It's a joke.
My main problem, given them a place in a starting 11 for an England team or a substitute place in an England team that, you know, by and large haven't achieved for the last 20 years, why don't we just treat the England team like we're a football team that needs to win games, and then go from there. My major problem with the starting lineup this time round was why have we got Foster in nets? It just seems to me we know everything we need to know about that player.
Put
Foster in.
I don't subscribe.
But that said, you know, he did play quite well. But against Costa Rica,
but you're right in what you're saying. It's not a building block for the future. No. I don't subscribe to it. I mean, Jim, you're right enough to bring it up. But I don't subscribe to the fact that I'm being revisionist there because what I'm saying is against Italy they were good, and I said at the very start of the World Cup we'll judge them on their merits. Against Uruguay they were poor. Mm. They were really naive, almost frustratingly naive. You could see it happening. You could see what was going to happen. You're right about when we scored the equaliser. We completely went about it the wrong way, and we've not been able to break down Costa Rica, who okay have performed above expectations. But it's not revisionist to say actually England are shit. They've been shit for the last couple of games, and it's not good enough, and it's got to change.
So would you say you talk about playing to a system and all that kind of stuff is the old square pegs and square holes kind of argument, and forgive me ladies and gentlemen, but it's a good example to use to talk about 66, but Alf Ramsey, you know, he picked Jack Charlton, who had never played for England. He said, why are you picking me? And Ramsey said, well, I don't pick the best players, I pick the players I need.
Yeah.
And actually, and again, forgive me for saying something a bit stupid as well, but England missed the midfielder who has a bit of bite, who can win the ball back.
Of course.
Now, off the top of my head, I can't really think of anybody who can do that.
Well, this is the
problem. I'm not saying this guy should get in the England side, but somebody like a Lee Catamol in amongst Jack Wilshere and Jordan Henderson.
The problem is, though, Marcus.
No, I'm not.
There's less talented players getting more England caps than Lee Catmull.
But you could argue that that would be more balanced than what they have.
But the point is, that's half the point, and I think that's a fair suggestion.
But,
I'm not saying Lee Catmull. Yeah, of course. You know what but I mean? The point is, England can't keep the ball anyway. So you have a guy who wins the ball in midfield, right? If your team doesn't keep the ball anyway, then he's got far too much to do, and he won't be able to do it, and he'll stand out as looking like he's not good enough, because England have no consistent technical ability throughout the side in terms of keeping the ball. They're incapable of changing their mentality, and they're incapable of playing the honest, easy pass, especially when they're ahead. And look at their record. And the reason I don't need to give you any evidence for this other than look at their record against teams better than them. When's the last time in a tournament England have beaten a team better than them?
We'd probably be 2002 Argentina.
Yeah, and that wasn't as massive smash and grab. That was almost a once in a generation performance where we obviously won by a penalty. It wasn't
again,
a convincing
also as well. That was in a group stage where if you lose, you know, you're not completely out. The last time we actually beat a top side in a knockout was 66, yeah, which is incredible.
Even if you go back to 90, I mean, you get into revisionist territory now because England did well and it got to the semi-final. But if you look at what actually happened, they didn't dazzle anyone in the group stage. No. But fair enough, no one else did.
And they even weren't convincing against Belgium and were slightly fortunate against Cameroon.
Correct.
No, well, the 90s were seen as this real period of failure in a way, because we all grew up thinking, oh, England been so unlucky to go out here, there and wherever in all of the tournaments, aside from USA 94, where they weren't there. But obviously, I mean, that was our golden generation. We didn't know how good we had it. Imagine us getting to a semi now, even if we didn't play particularly well and then we went out in heartbreaking fashion. I'll take that over this any
day. Look at the list of strikers we had in the 90s. Yeah, look at the list of strikers. You're absolutely right. I think that they need to really, really get back to basics. And the most worrying thing is if people are calling for Hodgson to be sacked because he's underachieved, whatever, fine. I can see that viewpoint. But who's going to come in?
Well, yeah, this is the problem, isn't it? There are a lot of people coming out saying, oh, if X, Y, and Z had happened, then he'd be sacked. If this happened, he'd be sacked. But the problem is, who do you replace him with? Everything we've tried has failed in the most basic manner.
Well, I think the point was made on this podcast when Hodgson took over. Now, you know I'm a fan of Hodgson, and I wanted him to be England manager, and I still do pretty much because there's no one better. But I think the point that we made was Hodgson might not be the man to take us to success. But success doesn't mean winning a trophy, as you say, Jim. It means getting back to bloody quarterfinals territory.
Yeah. Or making it enjoyable.
Although he did it in Europe 2012, but that's not really the point.
Yeah. But
he could be the man that brings about the change. And I'm hoping. I mean, I'm choosing to be hopeful for the future, which may be deluded, but I'm hopeful that that's happened. And it's interesting with some of the players coming out. Joe Hart saying, we are proud to play for Roy Hodgson. We want him to stay on. And so on and so forth. He doesn't have to say that. He can just go, well, yeah, of course we don't want them. He can be a bit more generic if he doesn't think that. And I think Hodgson has got a good feeling in the camp. I think he has got some of those players wanting to play for England again, because I think under Capello, it wasn't a happy place. No. Now, I know it's not about happy, sad, but that does play a little bit of a part.
The chink of light I can see coming through is that I feel there's a bit of a theory. I'm not sure there's much weight behind it, but players like Sterling and Barkley are two good examples of this. To a certain extent, Sturridge. They're the first generation of players who've come through playing like being exposed on a global level through the internet, through things like FIFA, computer games, that have been genuinely, like, consistently exposed to attacking flair-based football.
Sterling's heroes are not Englishmen.
Exactly. And once we move, perhaps, those players like Gerrard and Lampard and one or two others out, in terms of midfield and forward players, we may see ourselves producing players on an equivalent level to another decent European nation in terms of attacking flair players, because they've had this influence. They've got a much more ready access to flair and skillful and pacey and attacking players. They've not really had that in the past.
Mm. Do you not think that a lot of it is down to the coaching, though? Because, I mean,
yes,
we've all got that, and it doesn't mean we're necessarily any better footballers for
but
it.
I think
that's surely where it will
have to
change.
Yeah, but a lot of coaches will tell you the key part of a player's development, especially an attacking player, is 13, 14,
yeah, exactly.
Maybe even younger sometimes. And so when we were 13 or 14, it was, I mean, none of us are really good enough anyway, but when we were that age, we didn't have exposure to that at the same level. And the coaching thing is a massive problem because it's prohibitive. And the reason it's frustrating and why I get quite animated about it is because we had exactly the same conversation 2010.
Yeah.
The access to coaching qualifications at a high level is prohibitively expensive. Not enough people offer it. And there's not enough quality of coaches coaching the coaches. Marcus and I went down to one in Bristol. We went to a UEFA B one
a few years ago.
And they were saying the same things then. They were saying that we're doing our best, but people can't get on the course. It's too expensive. We don't set the prices. We don't get assessed as well as we want to be assessed.
Wasn't it like two qualified coaches? And the whole of the west of England, the west country or something like that. You know, if you're a young lad from Devon and Cornwall, how are you going to get realistically?
Can I just say, that is the answer to the question of where are all the players, i.e. where is the big pool of talent? But the fact of the matter is, you can beat around the bush about that stuff, and it is valid to a certain extent. But the fact is, that squad of players we've got there should be good enough, probably, to get through that group.
Well, Rio Ferdinand said, well, where are the big stars of yesteryear? Where are this, that and the other? And Henri just said, name me three Costa Rican players that you'd heard of before the tournament. You can't.
No.
They've got that great spirit. That it's not just spirit, but it's organisation. It's all the basics.
It goes back to what I was just saying about Chile. What you can achieve, you can become greater than the sum of your parts by working hard for each other, knowing your role. It's no disgrace at any level to perform a role in a team. It's a team game. Essentially, if you win the cup,
ask Dirk Kuyt that.
Exactly. He played left wing back the other day. Yeah. If you lift the World Cup as a team, it's a team achievement. It's no different to that. I said earlier in the season about the whole Football Writers Award and all this other stuff. I mean, it's fine to give these awards out and stuff, but generally, they don't actually mean anything. You're not going to be remembered really at the same level for winning three Football Players of the Year or Football Writers Awards or whatever that you would be for winning three Champions Leagues. And rightly so, because it's a team game and it always has been. The culture of the individual is an enemy of football, I think.
Sven.
That's better.
Yeah.
Here we go. Oh, that feels nice and safe.
I think he's had a mention on every World Cup
he
show.
He has. Like, if you'd been...
Still relevant, though.
If you'd been in a coma, you would think he was working in football today.
Do you miss the days of the quarterfinals, chaps?
Yeah. I do.
Right.
I think we've established that do.
Well, Sven said if Hodgson was foreign, he'd been sacked.
He probably would. He's probably right.
Yeah.
And then he went on to say, I know for sure that if it had been me, I would have been sacked at once. If they don't want me back, keep Hodgson. He's good. I would come back at once, of course, but that will not happen.
Have you made this up?
What are you saying, Sven?
He'd have his chance. He's had his chance.
Very forward.
Can I also make another just really brief point on England, just quickly? If you look across the Netherlands, a country that's nowhere near as big as Britain, nowhere near as many
and the money.
Individuals yet.
Chilean FA could do with an eighth of the FA's budget.
But the Netherlands know not only who's going to be the manager after Van Gaal, they've already planned on who's going to be the manager after Hiddink in terms of Danny Blind.
Yeah.
And it's already set in motion. Danny Blind is there now, learning that job. And he'll be learning it for the next 2 years. And Jeremy did it with Yogi Love as well.
We at least tried that with McLaren.
Sort of, but it was a bit of a rubbish effort at it.
They still interviewed for the job. There was still Kerbishley and Allardyce, and O'Neill were still candidates.
Yeah, but our culture doesn't allow us to do that. Mm. If we've got the greatest young coach... If we took like Brendan Rodgers, obviously a really good coach, right? I know he's Northern Irish, but the point still stands. He's a great coach. He's had jobs where it hasn't been the best fit for him, and it's not worked out. But now he's doing a great job at Liverpool. If he had been taken from, left his job at Swansea and was in the FA setup since then up until now, and he was ready to take over from Hodgson after this tournament, I don't reckon the press would have it in England. They just wouldn't have it.
I think part of the problem though is having the decent coaches in place in the first place. We just don't have them, and that's again that's one of the things that drives me mad. We're a country with a big population for our size. We have a large economy. We should be doing better. Look at Spain. Look at Germany. There is a blueprint there of how you set up your youth system so you start getting players that are fundamentally just better. And it's nothing to do with where you're born.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with the blood in your veins. It's all about how you're coached. We are in a position where we should be able to produce a group of players that can do something in international football.
I agree with you, Jim, but have you been to Club Wembley and had the food there?
Yeah, it is very good.
Really
because
good.
We've, almost worth it.
We've got that sorted.
Yeah,
we've that sorted.
Yeah,
okay.
Foundations.
I mean, where do the Spanish FA? Where do they eat?
Yeah,
not the same, is it?
No.
Not the same.
Don't even see the national anthem, do they?
Well, it's not very words. That's
the joke.
Oh, I see. just in case you didn't know that, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's move on from ringing, because it's making me tired.
Yeah, it's making everybody tired. That's Group D. Group A, oh, by the way, Pete's nipped out the studio, in case you're wondering why he's very, very quiet, but he will be back in a few minutes.
He's intense and needed a massage.
He's got nothing to say.
He just dropped down for a minute. In Group A, Cameroon lost to Brazil 4-1. Brazil will play Chile in the next round.
Mouth-watering.
Neymar, eh? I mean, no pressure.
He doesn't care. He loves it.
He really doesn't.
Absolutely
what
loves
a
it.
Finish for
and
the first.
At his age, that really just 22. That shows so much potential for the player he's going to go on to be.
Born to play football.
Absolutely. Just unbelievable. Just
born to play. Brazil have got to be careful, though. They've got to be really careful because they are, for me, relying far too much on Neymar and, to a lesser extent, Oscar, bailing them out of trouble.
Yeah.
And they've looked vulnerable.
They have.
Okay, they drew 0-0. They didn't concede against Mexico, but Mexico only conceded their first goal of the tournament against Croatia.
Yeah.
Pete's back, by the way.
Hey, Pete.
You managed to miss all the England chat. You've
Did
done
I?
Well
Yay.
There.
Can we talk about Neymar?
Yeah, we are.
He's a fun player. He's one to watch if you listen to Andy Cole.
Just while you're out, news come in, England just tried to sign Neymar.
Yay.
Sorry, Liv, you were going to say.
We're going to send every single player the other way.
Brazil have got to be careful.
Yeah, they have, because they're relying too much on what I've seen on Neymar and Oscar as well. Oscar sort of makes them tick a little bit.
Yep.
But they look to Neymar for these flashes of brilliance. And rightly so, he's a great player.
That's what they did in the first match, though, and it didn't seem to work because they just got crowded out all the time.
Exactly. They've looked vulnerable in every game.
Yeah.
And I think that Cameron have been poor, haven't they? But I think as they go through to a team like Chile, of course, Chile's record against Brazil isn't that great. And Chile, if you listen to Tim Vickery, he says that Chile have got a bit of an inferiority complex. He said, what did he say? He put it quite nicely. Chile are a country that know their place in South America. But I hope they can get over that and really perform.
Perhaps there's a season of change. But in that game, we can't gloss over the fact that Fred, as we'd call him, scored.
Yeah, he did. But he's been getting a lot of criticism.
Neymar told him to have a tash, and he'd score, and he did.
And he was offside.
He was offside, but he's off and running. So you're saying they're relying on Neymar. Ooh, next game.
If you need someone to bang in a nail in the coffin against a really shit Cameroon, Fred's your man.
The only thing I would say, blank range.
The only thing I would say about Brazil is that they're starting to do that thing which you find a lot of...
Growing into the tournament.
Exactly. World Cup winners do that. And I wonder if maybe a team like Netherlands, who we'll come on to in a minute, have maybe picked a little bit earlier.
Scolari has been very, very strict in his choosing of the side. He's very much, you're my man there, you're my man there, and nothing's changing. Surely he's got to swap Fernandinho for Paulinho.
I tweeted to Rupert Fryer, friend of the Ramble and South American football expert, during the game, saying surely, particularly against a team like Cameroon, Hernanez makes more sense in there than Paulinho, because he's not particularly been performing, he's not been adding a lot to the team. And Rupert just said, this is his team. Like, he's been starting with this team for about a year. This just is his team. He's not going to change it. But Fernandinho really did offer so much more. And he's such a powerful player that you can immediately see he improves them. And I think it would be a stubborn mistake to not... you know, learn from that.
Well, you're not going to get any more chances now. You're going to knockout football. And Scolari's, if you read around Scolari, which I'm sure you guys have, like, he's very good at building like a siege mentality, and he settles on players and he loves them and he trusts them. But there does come a breaking point, surely. And Paulinho's not been great for... I mean, it's generous to say that he's probably not been very good for 6 months. And part of that was people would try and suggest that he just didn't want to get injured ahead of the World Cup for Spurs, but he's just not performed. And Fernandinho or Hernanez, both really good players, so they could slot in there.
What about, did you see when Big Phil did the big phew kind of sign when Fred? I think when Fred scored, he went phew.
Ah. Did he?
Thank goodness.
Nice to see.
But Cameron,
it's not nice to see, because he clearly has no confidence in him. He's like, phew. Yeah.
Who else am I going to pick? I'm so sure of my team. I've not picked anyone else. So
in my head, I can't imagine anybody else coming on.
But Croatia, who
let us talk about Mexico.
Okay.
Well, that's Croatia.
Yeah, it feels in nicely. Yeah. Croatia hurt Brazil. And that was the first game. It's a long time ago now, but Croatia hurt them, and Chile can hurt them.
Mexico hurt Croatia more.
They did.
We talked about Rafael Marquez before. Yep. What a player.
Great player, yeah.
What a player. Miguel Herrera, the Mexican manager, who's had a lovely time.
Yeah.
To see him go crazy.
Just so enthusiastic.
See brilliant pictures stuff of his hair in the 80s and 90s?
No.
Absolutely unforgivable mullet scenes.
Something to look forward
I can imagine
to.
That. There's still a ghost of that there.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He looks like a man who's seen mullet.
Yeah.
The way he just pumps his arms. I do worry. If I was his physician, I'd be like, calm it down, mate.
Well, Herrera said about Marquez, he said, we needed a leader, concentrated, involved, commanding, screaming, shouting, giving my instructions on the field. I did not hesitate to appoint him captain. He was the only one, if nothing happened, and God willed, he was in good shape. I had no doubt that he was number one in the list of 23. That's a 35-year-old he's talking about there. Yeah. He played for New York Red Bulls from 2010 to 2012.
And phoned it in every single week, if reports to be believed.
And then since then has played in the Mexican League with Leon. I mean, they've done quite well, Leon. And the other players call him boss. He's so important.
But he knows,
and he got the goal.
The thing about Marquez is a couple of things I like about him. He knows his role in that team, and everyone else else in the team knows his role. Yeah. They set the team up and they almost not build it around him, but they accommodate him. And the other thing I like about it is that he wants the ball. Mm. He plays passes. Amazing passes, great range of
passes.
But
when you say they build a team around him or they all accommodate him, they don't accommodate him in the sense that other teams accommodate players. That's his position. Mm. That is the...
Well, yeah, they know their roles.
They build it around him then. They build the back half of the team around him.
No, I'm not saying
I'd build the back half of that team around that goalkeeper personally.
Yeah, he's a goodness me.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that's where he plays. That's where he should be playing.
Yeah.
He's not putting anyone else out there. That's the way it should be. Mm. But he got the first goal and then Guardado scored a great finish for the second one. Scored a great goal. And then Hernandez finished it off with the third Mexican goal, and it was a consolation.
That was a classic goal from that fella.
Yeah, it was.
Classic.
Close range header.
This World Cup has taught me a little bit more than maybe the other ones, is that actually in modern football in the World Cup, you've got to be brave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be really brave. So you've got to
put your head in there.
You've got to really go for what you want and go and grab what you want, because in the and we've seen this with teams in the final group games where they know they have to go and get a result, and it's no good if they don't, and that's what Italy's undoing was. Mm. I mean, because Croatia, they lost that game 3-1 because they went for it, and they could have lost it 1-2-0 maybe. Mm. But they really went for it and they got on the score sheet, but it was too little too late, but they actually went after the game.
Absolutely. But Mexico going through, they've done very well there, because I thought Croatia might pip them to it, but they'll be playing the Dutch in the next round, which leads us on to Group B. The Netherlands beat Chile 2-0. Jim, Leroy Fer coming on and scoring.
Yeah, that was a shocker.
Anything's
it?
Possible at but this tournament.
Again, it shows you the value of people knowing their place in the team, even one of the substitutes. He had a great game, actually, for the time he was on.
Memphis Depay.
Yeah.
He looks a revelation.
Yeah, he's the other side. Apparently.
Terrible defending at the back for the Chileans. Mm.
They went for it as well, didn't they? They just pumped everyone.
They didn't want Brazil.
No.
Iron Robin, drug test that man.
Yeah. He's getting faster.
He's going to achieve.
He's going to break the speed of sound. Yeah.
I got another little theory about Netherlands. You know, everyone was saying that Netherlands are sort of top heavy. They're great going forward, but they're not as good at the back. Mm. Do you reckon it's because people don't watch as much Dutch league football? Because a lot of those defensive players are based in Holland.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, Ron Vlaar aside.
Yeah.
Who's had a good World Cup? Yeah. Let's be fair to him.
Do you think they just
Daley Blint has to be a good player, because Danny Blint's is fast.
The jeans he's got in there.
I mean, if he puts a foot wrong, my goodness.
But can you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The players may be a bit underrated because people don't watch as much Dutch football as other big leagues.
They
don't know
who
how
the hell is that.
Are. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Dutch, what was really impressive about them is the way they adapted to playing Chile. Mm. Chile are a very awkward side to play. They're like a swarm of bees, as many people have pointed out.
More like a swarm of staffies.
Yeah. But different games to the Spanish and Australia, of course. But the Dutch just took it in their stride. I'm a little bit worried for the Netherlands because they often start really, really well. And if you look back in tournaments in history, maybe 1970 aside, the team that goes on to win, it seldom sort of blasts teams away.
That's what I'm saying about pacing yourself into the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost a ridiculous thing to say. What, should they have held back and only scored three against the Spanish?
Should they
have played for a draw against
very
Italy?
Much like Patrick Kluivert's career, I think.
Yeah.
Like starting strong and then just going...
But at the moment, they're the team to watch in the tournament.
I think, though, the Spain game might be a bit of an anomaly, because obviously Casillas gifted them three goals, really. And also, they were sticking the knife in there. That was revenge for them. It was a bit
But
different.
The way they took some of their goals, Jim, was fantastic. Mm.
Oh, of course.
And they've got and against Australia, you think, oh, okay, they conceded two, but against Chile, they've done the business.
Yeah,
they've showed that, and they've kept a clean sheet as well against Chile, who are a good side. Who scored goals?
The two penalties they've had against them, I don't think either were penalties. I think Bernal was right when he mentioned that as well. So
there are going to be some matches.
Oh, great! Really?
There's no clear favourite.
Mm. Netherlands, Mexico, and Brazil, Chile—they're proper World Cup games. I'm loving that. Netherlands, Mexico will be a great game.
Yeah. Mm. Spain beat Australia 3-0. David Villa finished off his career with a nice goal.
Oh, Spain, you're hard. Do it when the pressure's off, can't you, Spain? Pathetic.
You look at the way that they finished their goals, though. I just sort of think, they're not over.
No, they're not over.
Like, no team. No, they played some really nice football at times.
Yeah.
Not first half, obviously.
David Villa and Xavi Alonso are gone, aren't they?
Is he?
I think so, yeah.
Villa's gone. I mean, he was very emotional when he came off.
You would wonder, this probably is the last tournament for Fernando Torres as well. He's 30 now. I don't think he'll be there for the next
one. I think Spain, I know it's easy to be captain hindsight and all that, but Negredo's unlucky not to be in there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
he's relieved he wasn't.
he's free of blame. Yeah. Now Villa's gone as well. Yeah. Right. He's literally staring at the phone right now.
Yeah. He's lying under a palm tree going, how did they get on? Oh, dear. Yeah. Yeah. I'm Peter Gallardo here.
Yeah.
It's it's not even 11 in the morning.
Eyeing a player manager role, perhaps.
Group C hasn't been played at the time of recording. Japan, Colombia, Greece, Ivory Coast. But I did like what the Ivorian manager, Lamouchi, said, whether he'll start Drogba or bring him on. And he said to the press, "Well, the difference between you and me is that I know what I will do."
When the Ivorians started the tournament, as everybody else started the tournament.
We know that. That's why we're trying to extract the information.
That's how an interview starts. That's how an interview works. But I just did think that...
Yeah.
I did think, they can't use Drogba quite as much. And he has shown to be a real sort of star player and a real class act in, you know...
It's so handy.
He's turning games on their head. And it's just like... I'll just use him. It's his last World Cup. Fuck it.
Lamouchi, if you don't adhere to the process, the interview literally can't take place. I know all the answers, but I'm not telling you. Okay, end of press conference. Thanks.
Bye.
Absolutely brilliant. Any job interview.
Yeah.
Well, talk us through your previous work experience. You're going to have to do better than that.
Where have you seen yourself in 5 years? Well, I've got an idea, but I'm not telling you.
Would you like to take me out for dinner? Oh, who knows, eh? Who knows? Still single? Yes, I am single, yeah.
Wonderful. Group E, the free scoring French. Yes, indeed. Benzema and co, they look very good, don't they?
Yeah.
Against the mighty Swiss, Luke Moore.
Yeah, I rated Switzerland going into this tournament. I think they need to
be better.
Actually settle on what type of side they are. And they really need to play to their strengths more, because this is not a team who went through the qualification process ever looking like it was going to concede five goals in the game. So they need to really actually get back into that mentality. And actually, I think they should have more than enough to get past Honduras, and I think they should qualify. Of course, they're probably going to have a difficult game in the next round because they'll probably play Argentina, and I think that'll be too much for them. My tip for Switzerland was just because I thought France were a bit unreliable, and they've proved me wrong there. And I thought if Switzerland could avoid Argentina, they would probably get through to the quarterfinal.
But
it doesn't look like it's going to happen now, barring a massive turnaround in fortunes in that group.
The French have been great, though.
Yeah, the French.
Even Sissoko scored.
I don't want to take anything away from the French, because they have been great, and Benzema has been exceptionally good. He's lucky not to have about eight goals already. But
That one he scored right at the end, but the whistle is gone.
And the one he went across the line, and he missed a penalty.
Yeah.
So he could have had three more goals. But do you not think? I don't want to take anything away from France. I watched that game.
It's a good group for them.
Yeah, it is. Do you think Switzerland were a little bit below par?
Oh, of course. And France as well, it must be pointed out, still conceded two very silly, sloppy goals.
Indeed.
So, to score five goals so in a World Cup match.
Yeah, of course.
Against the seeded team.
And who don't concede many, who aren't known for conceding.
I just suddenly thought, I wish I'd have said after the Dutch-Spain game,
Probably better that you didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to go, Casillas.
That's still relevant.
Yeah.
Mine was out of date and thus embarrassing.
Doesn't normally stop you.
Yeah. Keep that in the edit, I think. Honduras. Honduras are out, Pete.
Yeah.
Do you know what? The Honduras-Ecuador game was fantastic. Not very interesting match. Who's going to turn up for that? Well, a lot of people. A lot of singy people did. Wonderful atmosphere. Honduras, the highest murder rate.
Yeah.
Per capita.
Outside of war zones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that the culture in that country is clearly reflected in the way they play football.
Well, it's funny you say that, Marcus, but I don't think England is an insipid, horrendous, disappointing place to live.
It doesn't work every time.
Exception that proves the rule.
Yeah, Honduras has that massive prison, doesn't it, that's run by the inmates. And you would think that the national team are a prison team, the way they play. They're like an actual gang. Terrifying.
They've got no hope of going through. They're not going to beat Switzerland.
Well, they're out.
They will beat Switzerland. They will lose the match, but they will beat Switzerland.
I think Switzerland just viewing this game as, right, just survive this, and we're going to have a lovely time in the second round, okay?
Yeah, let's just 11 players coming off the pitch alive.
They're going to come out to that game very much like the landing craft with the soldiers at Normandy. Mm. It's going to be like... Terror. Absolute terror.
My goodness.
Blood in the water.
Yeah, well...
That's Honduran centre-back we've got. I forget his name. The one with the dye blonde hair. He's an absolute beast. Mm. He's brilliant.
Switzerland, presumably, if they go through, will probably play Argentina.
I thought Switzerland were a little bit... how can I put this, shit against France.
Yeah, well, we just spoke about that.
Yeah, yeah, and so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Argentina struggled to beat Iran, but they did win, though. They did win. But yeah. Iran were fantastic.
I really were.
I absolutely love what the World Cup can do to people. People in this country, of course, and generally in the Western world, a bit suspicious of Iran. Oh, what do we think about them? Da, 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 da. Their president, like, tweets a picture of them all watching football. What, you're into football? Ah, go on, Iranians! You know. All's forgiven.
Yeah.
Given their embassy back, all that comes
out. I wonder, this World Cup's been great, of course, and we've said that, and it's absolutely right. But there's been some instances where some lesser teams, if you'll forgive me, have not quite believed that they can do it. So
yeah.
If you look at the teams that have just fallen short, look at Ghana against
Germany,
look at USA against Portugal, look at Iran against
No, I wouldn't say Argentina. That for the US.
No, but what I'm saying is they just didn't have it to get it over the line. They didn't have it, whether it's a final bit of mentality or a final bit of quality. You said that about the US, but they shot themselves in the foot. It's their own fault they didn't win.
We'll come to them in a sec.
But what I'm saying is it feeds into that narrative of whether you wonder if those teams genuinely believe they can do it. You see the Iranians' faces when they can see that goal against Messi. Just dejected. All of them pretty much just fell on the floor. They couldn't believe it, and they just didn't quite get over the line.
They could have won that game. Yeah. They really could have. They made the chances.
But I think they did have belief, actually. If you watch the way, you know, De Jager nearly scored, and then is it Reza, the former Charlton man? They had chances. I think they actually went for it. They would have not had those chances. They would have not gone forward if they believed that they couldn't score. Well, they would have been too busy camped out on the edge of their box.
But the fact is they couldn't get over the line.
No, what they didn't say they didn't have belief that they could.
And in Ghana's case, gave away all that money, Salim Antari. So,
yeah,
gave away all that money.
True.
He went around the furlers and gave away a lot of money.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
That's weird
looking fella.
Was he thinking people were going to take pity on him?
There's a weird alien giving us loads of money.
Cool.
His funny eyes.
Nigeria, they won a game.
Yeah, they were so much better, weren't they?
Controversial fashion. Bosnia and Herzegovina are out.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It is a shame.
They've been disappointing. I know it's their first.
They were unlucky against Argentina.
But they've got some good players in there and they played well. They were unlucky, yeah, but they looked abject against Nigeria.
No excuse, really, because it was always going to come down to that game between those two sides and they just weren't good enough.
Yeah, it's all going off in Group G, where people have been banging G's.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, bitch!
A lot. Two twos. Two twos. Germany 2, Ghana 2, as you said, closer, equaled Ronaldo's goal scoring record. It was going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And he will get another one before the tournament's out. Don't worry about that, ladies and gentlemen. The Ghana boys, they with a nice celebration. They went 2-1 up. It was one of those glorious moments at the World Cup where you just thought, oh my goodness, this is happening. Oh no, it isn't.
Again, I think that comes down to that belief. They almost couldn't believe that they got themselves in front.
Jordan Ayew?
Yeah.
Had the ball and you think, slip it.
Yeah.
And
I think that was Jan, but Ayew had the chance to play a player in, but did it too early and he was offside. I think they might have even had three good chances to go 3-1 up.
Well, people were saying the Germans look like the best side. They look pretty solid, da 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 da. Well, tell you what, though, Ghana called them all sorts of problems.
No one looks like the best side. It's brilliant.
What about the USA, eh?
Yes.
I believe that we will win.
Yes. I was pulling for them. I was so disappointed.
I've not supported a team like that other than England in the World Cup for years, I don't
think. That Jermaine Jones goal.
Oh, it's beautiful. Glorious.
Started off about 3 feet outside the far post, didn't it? The keeper just stood there. What do you want to do about that?
Well, that's going wide.
Yeah. Some of the Portuguese defenders sort of turned round to look at the keeper. I'd look at the keeper and he was like, what are you looking at me for? What do you want me to do about that?
The American fans were out in force as well. I think they're the best attended side in the tournament, obviously, apart from
everyone
Brazil.
Who's out there is going on about how brilliant they are.
Yeah.
And in America, it's taken over like baseball, hasn't it, for like to be a real premier spot. And like all the news, all the sports, broadcasters are going, oh dear, this is more popular than baseball, which is what all we talk about.
A friend of mine was in a bar in Connecticut, and she said it was absolutely pumping, for that game.
That's so good. Everywhere.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
You saw the scenes in Chicago, but I think they've been aboard for a while.
I'm pulling for American cousins.
So really want them to do well.
But Jimmy, you said as well that they're part of the furniture now, and they have been for a little while, and it's great when they turn up. You come as you are. People can be all around the world. People can be a little bit sneering in the way how Americans watch their sport and how they celebrate their sport. But when the African sides turn up and the Latin American sides and they celebrate it in their fashion, people don't. They think it's great because it is. That's the way they do things. Or when the Americans come, damn right.
Yeah, let them
chant. I believe that we will win. because that is gloriously American, enthusiastic, and polite.
There was a man dressed as Teddy Roosevelt.
Lovely costumes have been amazing.
That's lovely, old John.
Any English fans dressed as Pitt the Younger?
No, just St George.
Yeah. I was going to say that it's funny, I've done a bit of work on American radio stations here and there, and when you encounter American football fans, they're almost so self-conscious that they've got a reputation for not knowing about football, that they almost go the other way and really research and really dedicate themselves to it. And they know loads more than most English football fans, I think.
And American football's all about the stats anyway. You know, I think somebody did a parody of how soccer should be presented to Americans to make it more popular. It was like somebody was taking a throw and it was like, that's his third throw in this
USA!
Game.
USA! USA!
That's Lennon Donovan's third chest trap of the tournament.
Donovan, and Landy Cakes isn't there.
Well, it was in this video. It was a
open wide for some soccer!
Across the midfield stripe.
Yeah, love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah, Dempsey banged a G, of course.
Yeah, he'll do that.
Do you know who set that up?
Who?
Graham Zuzi.
Hell yeah, Zuzu.
The composure that Zuzi showed, actually. Because when the ball flashed across, I was thinking, just swing your leg at it. And he managed to hook it right back round perfectly on the Dempsey's formidable tummy.
Chris,
and it went.
Chris Wondolowski's still biding this time.
Yeah.
He'll have his day. Mark my words, he'll have his day.
But Portugal were 30 seconds away from going out of the tournament.
That ball from Ronaldo was great.
Mate, magnificent, wasn't it? Do you hear about apparently his zigzag haircut was a tribute to a young Spanish lad who underwent brain surgery, which Ronaldo paid for. Yeah. Apparently that's what it is. Yeah. Because people were thinking, what's he doing that? Also, a friend of the show, Dan Quarrell, works for Eurosport. He said that he wrote an interesting article saying that Ronaldo's superstition has a haircut before every game.
Wow.
It's weird, isn't it?
Does he have like a hairdresser to follow him around, presumably?
Yeah, I'd have thought
he will do.
Manager of the national team, I'd be like, no, that's not happening. That's effing ridiculous.
Do you remember Daniel Passarella made Fernando Redondo get his haircut? He wasn't going to be in the World Cup squad.
Get rid of those sideburns!
Yeah. And he refused. He wasn't picked.
Yeah. That's right.
I bet he feels stupid now.
There was again, very American this. There was a guy with a banner up during the America-Portugal game which said, Christian Nope.
Yeah, bitch.
In fact, do they use Nope? Do they use
Nope?
Oh, I don't know, actually.
Nope.
Not Christian Nutt.
Oh, well, anyway, someone else.
Leslie Nope out of Parks and Rec.
Yeah, interesting.
Christian, no way, man.
Will the US and Germany play out a draw?
No, I don't think they will.
Do you know what, Jim? I'm going to disagree with you. I think they've got a chance to get the point there.
Mine is much more nasty. The nasty idea of them just having a little pact. They won't have a pact, clearly.
I wouldn't see that. I don't think those German... Because even if Germany rest players, what people tend to forget is the players that have come in are so desperate to be a part of it. Yeah. It ends up not being a draw anyway.
Mm. That's part of it.
With England.
Yeah. So we very much look forward to that.
Yeah.
And we can enjoy the World Cup now.
Yay!
It's
over. Hello, everybody. But I tell you what, the US will play Belgium or... Well, probably Belgium, won't they?
Yeah.
You'd have thought so, yeah.
I tell you what,
the way Belgium has played.
I mean, Belgium are
those
through.
Dark horses.
All three Belgium goals. three Belgium goals have come from substitutes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can confirm.
They're not playing at full pelt.
Hazard began to show what he can do in that game, did he not?
Yeah. It was great assist, actually.
What about? Oh, something we should say about Jan. He became the highest African goal scorer at World Cup finals. Oh,
well done to him.
Taking over Roger Miller's record.
Baby Jet. No, not well done to him then. That's like close to Ronaldo. I'm not having that.
Come on, move with the times.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you don't want an African player just to sell 4 goals.
No.
There we are. You put
it like
that.
Roger Miller back. Couldn't do much worse. You've seen Cameroon this year. Much worse.
Qatar.
Yeah.
But Algeria, that's the first time an African side has scored 4 goals.
Oh, they were magnificent.
At the World Cup. Mm. The
South
Desert Foxes.
Great South value. Korea looked like they didn't know what was happening to them.
No.
It's like, 3-0. What?
Algeria looked great, didn't they? So it's going to be intriguing, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's all we've got time for, isn't it, chaps?
Do you
have any correspondence, Peter?
We have got some correspondence. The question was, Luke Mowat, what was the question again? I forget. I wrote it, but down when you what you said.
The question was, how much worse can England genuinely get?
Yeah.
And we'll hear the answers after this.
Listeners to the Football Ramble are eligible for a fantastic offer with Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. The easy-to-use drag-and-drop tools, responsive designs, and 24/7 customer support teams based in New York and Dublin mean you can create a beautifully designed website for as little as £5 a month. This includes a free domain name when you sign up for a year. Seamless e-commerce solutions mean that your business can be taking money in minutes. So when you sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code RAMBLE to get 10% off and show your support for the Football Ramble. No credit card required. Start building your website today. A better web starts with your website.
All right, how much further can England sink? Will Vieri says, can't be much deeper than Suarez's teeth. Ha ha ha.
That's a very current one. I like that. No, it's like real time.
Barnsley says, Barnsley83 says, starting a campaign for Le Tournois to replace the World Cup.
That, yeah, I agree with that.
That or keeping Roy in charge. David Hogg says, the depths of the sea, as that's where they should be sent to live, the useless wankers.
Jim, endorse that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Benjamin Halliday says, wooden spoon in the 2016 Home Nations tournament sponsored by Sport Direct. Sports Direct. Murray Ferguson says, trying to convince David Bentley out of retirement. John Hissett says, adverts for Netto and Primark. Adi Boothroyd linked with manager's job.
That wouldn't be worse. That would not be worse.
And Farai Alam as chief executive of the FA.
That's a Sven related.
Yeah, well, that's in there for you, mate.
That's a Sven dig. I like Stephen Maloney's just come in going, the jokes are flying, but Suarez isn't funny. No player should have to play against someone who does this.
Oh, a
really sobering sort of just shut up everyone, Suarez try to bite someone, possibly, maybe.
Stephen, I don't think this is the podcast for you, sir. I'm not afraid to say that.
Have you tried the red, white and cup forums?
We value all our listeners, okay? But I'm just concerned you're not having as good a time as you could be.
Exactly.
There we go. We will be back after the first round matches are complete to do a review of all them and that.
Where guests will include James Milner, Stephen Gerrard and Roy Hodgson.
Your job.
Live in the studio.
If you want to get in
making
touch,
excuses.
The email address is show@thefootballramble.com and the Twitter is @footballramble and the website is thefootballramble.com.
So goodbye, job.
Pete.
Goodbye.
So goodbye, Luke.
See you later, yeah.
Jim.
Bye.
And bye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.